The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, again in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then the king said to the servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, to the main roads and invite whomever you find.' Servants went out into the streets, and they gathered all they found, the good and the bad alike, and the hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment, and said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you have come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. And the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hand and feet and cast him out into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. And yet it isn't. It's a gospel that is so shocking that most Catholics that I know haven't really processed it. It's just, okay, and we turn the page and see what else we got. Let's move on. It's a story of a king who held a feast for his son. Now, who's the king? Well, the king is the Father, or the Heavenly Father. The Son, of course, is Jesus. And he takes time to prepare the feast. And this is the era of the historical books of the Bible and the prophets. And so God is preparing a feast for his son. And then the feast is prepared. Jesus is born, he ministers among us, and the invitation goes out to all the Jewish people. Come, come to the wedding feast of my son. But they make excuses. I have just gotten married, I have to go and be with my wife. I just got a cow and I'm going to go examine it. I just bought some land. Let me go examine the land, and I've got work to do. Please consider me excused. And so another group of them, not only do they not want to come, they kill the ones who make the invitation. Now, of course, this can be interpreted historically in two ways. The prophets who were killed by the Jewish people of old, or the apostles who would be killed by both Gentiles and Jews. So again, you've got the story here is plain enough. But this detail, the king, when they do that, grows angry and burns their town. But I thought God was rich in mercy. And okay, so now a lot of people don't really pay attention to that detail, but pay attention to it. God grew angry and burned their town. Historically, what this is about is Jesus had prophesied that Jerusalem, because of its lack of faith and refusal to accept him as Messiah, would be destroyed. And he wept as he said it. He wasn't like, "Oh, I'll get you." He wept. So historically, in fact, the town was burned. And then the invitation goes out. Since the Jewish people rejected him, at least corporately, the invitation now goes out to the Gentiles. And everybody, now the feast is filled. But then comes another twist in the story. There's a man who doesn't have a proper wedding garment on. "Throw him out," says the king. Remember, this is the Father. "Throw him out! Bind him into the outer darkness. Let him wail and grind his teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Okay. I don't mean to have to retell the whole gospel, but I want you to kind of hear it again with sort of its edginess. It's an edgy parable. And, you know, a lot of people sort of like to have a kind of a sing-songy notion of who God is. God is nice, and he's like Mr. Rogers, and he's very kind. And then you get a story like this, that pow, right between the eyes, it rocks your world. Wow. Now, again, how to put all these pieces together in a couple minutes? Very hard. But here we have again, an absolute insistence by Jesus that a fundamental choice exists for every human person. And that choice, in the end, will result in where you will spend eternity. Basically, Jesus tells a very strongly worded parable here to say to us, look, we're not playing games here. This is not a nice little game of dominoes. This is serious stuff. This is about eternity. This is about where you will spend the rest of your days, either with God and in the wedding feast, or outside wailing and grinding your teeth. I'm going to take all the flowers away. I'm taking all the varnish off the wood. This is the deal. You either accept me and enter the wedding feast, or you will live apart from God and me for all eternity. Okay. No flowers, no varnish on the wood, just this is the deal. Okay? So, and again, a lot of people don't like that kind of a thing. I kind of want it to be nice, and I want God to not really mind what decision I make and still be nice no matter what I do. And a lot of people kind of have an unsober appreciation of what's the reality. And the reality is this. It's you've got a choice to make. And it's a serious choice. And it has consequences. And unfortunately, I think in the church, we have gotten away from presenting things this way. We come to our nice, warm Catholic community. We've all got smiley face buttons on, and we're going to have our nice, warm Catholic community, and we're not going to offend anybody, and we're going to just say nice stuff, and we're not going to rock anybody's world like Jesus did, but we're just going to be nice. And then, you know, you finally open up the real scriptures and find the real God and the real Jesus, and you're like shocked. And yet here it is. This is the real Jesus now. This is the real choice. This isn't, you know, some marketing campaign. This is the real stuff. So I simply present to you the real Jesus. I present to you the real choice. I present to you the real drama of your life. All the flowers, all that nice stuff is taken away, and we have the reality in front of us. And I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to have a biblical appreciation. Not just a kind of a modern 21st century, we want everything to be nice notion, but I want you to have a real biblical notion that a drama, your life is a drama. You have a choice to make, and you have lots of little choices that add up to that big choice. And there are real consequences to the choices you make. Now, a quick detail about this guy that gets pulled in off the street, and you say, man, that's not fair, he's not wearing a robe. Of course he's not wearing a robe, he got pulled off the street. Well, a couple things about the robe. First of all, everybody had wedding garments, all right? Because weddings were frequent and people were expected to dress. And even the poor, these garments were provided if you couldn't afford them. So in other words, it's not a question that the poor guy was unprepared and he didn't have the money. Take all that away, okay? That's not the historical notion of a wedding garment. If you don't have one, it's provided, but you wear it, okay? And what is the wedding garment? Well, the Bible teaches us that the wedding garment is righteousness. And the garment is provided. You don't have righteousness, so the Lord clothes you in His righteousness. All right, He gives you this righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the bride is given to wear a beautiful white garment, and the white garment is the righteousness of all the saints. And so the garment is given by God. It is the garment of righteousness. And if you refuse to wear it, you can't go to heaven. Okay? Well, I don't want to wear it. I want to show up in flip-flops and a t-shirt to church, you know. And, well, too bad. You can't stay in the banquet. You see, you're out. You're out. So, again, consequences, choices. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do whatever I please and I can still go into the wedding feast. You can't. You cannot be in the wedding feast. And the Lord doesn't finesse it. He doesn't put any flowers out and say, well, let's try to, you know, make this a palatable teaching. He just says, this is the deal. You either choose to come in or you don't. And if you don't, you're out. You're not in. You're out. And if you do come in and you refuse to accept righteousness, you can't stay in. And you say, but it's not fair. Well, again, we said that yesterday. Don't ask God to be fair. You better be calling for mercy right now, because it's the only mercy that's going to get us there. Now, just to finalize this whole thing, then You know, again, I've said this to you before. A lot of people say they want to go to heaven. And they dabble in religion, and they dabble in God, and they sort of put a couple of poker chips on God, but basically they want to live in the world. And you can't have it that way. So, in other words, they want to say, I love Jesus, but they want to go on jack up with their girlfriend. Or, I love Jesus, but they want to go on for refusing to forgive someone. And again, the Lord is simply saying, you can't stay in the wedding feast that way. It doesn't work. You cannot go in serious, unrepented sin and claim that you're in the wedding banquet. No, you're being put out. Okay, so a lot of people say they want to go to heaven, but what heaven really is, they really don't want forgiveness, mercy, chastity, love of God, God at the center, Him singing. You know. So, well, okay. I'm sorry to go on so long today, but both these stories need a little bit of time. And don't just say, oh, well, that was a nice story. Let's turn the page and see what else we have. Let it have the impact it needs to have. And yes, there's other stories that we need to balance this about God's love, about His mercy, about His patience. Don't take one scripture and make it the whole Bible. But let the scripture have the impact it needs to have, which is, in the end, yes, God is rich in mercy. Yes, God is great, patient and kind. But in the end, it's going to come down to whether you want to be in the feast or you don't. Whether you want to be clothed in righteousness or you don't. So, in the end, it really is about a choice and choices that you have and I have to make. And so, yes, let's not let this one passage become everything, but let's also remember that it is very important what it teaches us. Choices matter. Amen.